രത്നൈസൽപിതമാസനം ഹിമജലൈഃ സ്നാനം ച ദിവ്യാംബരം നാനാരത്നവിഭൂഷിതം മൃഗമദാ മോദാങ്കിതം ചന്ദനം ജാതീശം സകബിൽവപത്രരചിതം പുഷ്പം ച ധൂപം തഥാ ദീപം ദേവദയാനിധേ പശുപതേ ഹൃത്കൽപിതം ഗൃഹ്യതാം സൗവർണേന വരത്നഖണ്ഡരചിതേ പാത്രേ ഘൃതം പായസം ഭക്ഷ്യം പഞ്ചവിധം പയോദധീതം രംഭാഫലം പാനകം ശാഖാനാമയുതം ജലം രുചികരം കർപ്പൂരഖണ്ഡോജ്വലം താംബൂലം മനസാ മയാ വിരചിതം ഭക്ത്യാ പ്രഭോ സ്വീകുരു ക്ഷത്രം ചാമരയോരുതം വ്യജനകം ചാദർശകം നിർമ്മലം വീണാഭേരി മൃദംഗകാഹലകല ഗീതം ച നൃത്യം തഥാ സാഷ്ടാംഗം പ്രണതിസ്തുതി ബഹുവിധ ഏതത് സമസ്തം മയാ സങ്കൽപേന സമർപ്പിതം തവ വിഭോ പൂജാം ഗൃഹാണ പ്രഭോ ആത്മാ ത്വം ഗിരിജാമതി സഹചരാ പ്രാണാ ശരീരം ഗൃഹം പൂജാ തേ വിഷയോപഭോഗരചന നിദ്രാ സമാധി സ്ഥിതി സഞ്ചാരപദയോ പ്രദക്ഷിണവിധി സ്തോത്രാണി സർവാഗിരഃ യദ്യത് കർമ്മ കരോമി തത് തദഖിലം ശംഭോ തവാരാധനം കരചരണകൃതം വാ കായജം കർമ്മജം വാ ശ്രവണനയനജം വാ മാനസം വാപരാധം വിഹിതമവിഹിതം വാ സർവമേതത് ക്ഷമസ്വ ജയ ജയ കരുണാബ്ധേ ശ്രീ മഹാദേവ ശംഭോ.
Are you able to hear me better today? Because last week a few of you had complained of echo. So could you just type out if it's okay? In the question section, if you could just type out saying it's okay to help me. Or Parvati Bhagini, if you can respond, is it okay, my voice today?
Yes, ma'am, it's clear.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
സദാശിവസമാരംഭാം ശങ്കരാചാര്യമധ്യമാം അസ്മദാചാര്യപര്യന്താം വന്ദേ ഗുരുപരമ്പരാം. ഓം. Param varishtam brahmishtam paramananda rupinam paramarthananda yatim sadgurum pranatosmyaham.
So, we had entered the chapter 7, Saptamodhyaya, last week. And I did speak about a lot of concepts. So, I will quickly try and, you know, revise the concepts. And then we have to continue with some more concepts today. So, we will try and, you know, complete all the concepts and get into the 4th and 5th verses thereafter. So, in the first 3 verses of the 7th chapter, Lord Krishna introduced the central theme of the chapter, not only the chapter, but the entire Madhyama Shatkam, which is Ishvara Swarupam. So after introducing, now from the 4th shloka, Lord Krishna is entering into this topic proper, which continues up to verse 7. And as I said last week, this is a very, very important topic, and we require a lot of background from the Shastras, which is based on the, basically what the Upanishads tell us about creation. So we need to get some concepts clear before we enter. Otherwise we will not be able to understand the verses very well in its full context, right? So, and a little bit of last week's concepts also I would have to quickly revise. So we'll do that, right? So we were actually in this verse which we started, right? But I didn't get into the verse at all because I can't get into the verse until I complete the concept. So, Bhumi Rapo Nalo Vayuhu Kam Mano Buddhi Devacha Ahankara Itiyam Ne Bhinna Prakriti Rashtada. In fact, to explain the word Prakriti Rashtada, so much of concept explanation is required, right? So, quickly, what were the key concepts that we saw, right? We said Ishvara is Jagat Karanam, right? That was the first concept that was introduced. Then the second concept was that it is Shrishti Sthiti Laya Karanam, the reason for the origination of the creation, the maintenance, as well as the resolution. Vishwadharam Gagana Sadrisham. Vishwadharam, the Adharam for the world, right? In Vishnu Sahasranamam we tell that, right? So, Srishti Sthiti Laya Karanam, Jagat Karanam, Ishwaraha. That is the first concept. Then, we saw a very, very significant and unique concept called intelligent cause and material cause. And I gave you the example of the spider and the web, right? And also the beauty of that is when the spider is hanging, right? And you try to touch it, it will immediately go up and you won't know what's happened to the thread. The thread actually gets in, right? So it's exactly like the Jagat is also treated the same way by Ishvara. So that's a very good example given. So it comes from where, it goes into where, the producer, the maintenance person, the resolution, everything is Ishvara. So the Upanishad itself gives the spider as an example in Mundaka Upanishad, right? Now after so many generations, we are sitting and, you know, doing research on what that material of the spider's web is, why is it so strong, etc., right? It has been pointed out in the Upanishad as an example, right? So, we saw that Ishvara is the intelligent cause as well as material cause, right? So, Nimitta Karanam and Upadana Karanam. Some of these terms that we are using now, it is preferable to get by heart or at least keep a printout in front of you so that at least by the end of Gita, these things will become very, very familiar. So, Ishvara Jagat Karanam. Ishvara is Nimitta Karanam as well as Upadana Karanam. So, intelligent cause, example, was like the goldsmith or the carpenter. And the material cause is the wood itself or the gold itself. Right? So, Nimitta Karanam, Upadana Karanam. Then, we also saw what is the nature of Ishvara. We discussed elaborately the two components of Ishvara, Brahman, Maya. Also synonyms used as Purusha, Prakriti, Para Prakriti, Apara Prakriti. Right? para and apara prakriti being very, very important concepts and used again and again in the Madhyama Shatkam by Lord Krishna. Right? So, Ishvara, the cause of the universe, has both para prakriti as well as apara prakriti facets. Para prakriti is the consciousness principle, apara prakriti is the matter principle. Right? So, consciousness and matter principle. Right? Thereafter, we said that there are common features between para prakriti and apara prakriti, and there are the differentiating features as well. Right? So, I said this is called sadharmya vaidharmya vichara in Nyaya Shastra. We talked about it, right? So, and then we said that is compare and contrast. So, similarities between Brahman and Maya are, both are karanam, both are beginningless or anadi, right? So, both are karanam, both are beginningless or anadi, right? So, thereafter, we were speaking about the three uncommon features, which is where I actually stopped, right? So, the first one is, matter is subject to continuous change. Right? Matter never remains the same. Every second it is changing. If you take atoms, right? At the atomic level it keeps changing, and even it keeps on going down to the smallest part, right? So it is continuously changing. Similarly, in our body, at the end of say 1 hour after the class, the body that was there 1 hour before and the body that is there 1 hour later is changed. The cells, some of the cells have died, some of the cells have come newly, right? So, constantly the body is also changing. Body has become 1 hour older, right? In that 1 hour, right? So, we are getting continuous changes in the body. So, matter has changed, whereas consciousness is without any change or modification. So, the first one, of course, consciousness is chetanam. Chetanam means sentient, and matter is jadatattvam, which means it's not sentient. Then matter is subject to change, right? Swamiji uses the term C for that, right? He uses CAD to remember this. So C for change. And matter has its own attributes, right? So if you remember in the second chapter, we saw Najayate, Mriyateva, Kadachit, right? And we said that consciousness or the Atma in the body is not, the Atma is not subject to change, right? What dies and what is born is nothing but the Sula Sukshma Karana Shariram, right? So, basically, we also saw in Tattva Bodha about the six changes. Asti, Jayate, Vardate, Apakshiyate, Viparinamate, Vinashyati. That is dies. We saw these in the Tattva Bodha, right? So, from potential existence, it manifests, it grows, then there is metamorphosis, then there is decay, and then death, right? So, matter is changing continuously, and it also has attributes, right? So, like in chemistry, we see a particular element has a lot of properties, right? Then we use several tests, color test, smell test, right? Then, so properties are, every unique matter has different set of properties, right? Color, smell, taste, touch, etc. So, these are all attributes that each kind of matter has. Whereas, consciousness has no attributes, right? It is nirgunam. Kathopanishad describes it as, every Upanishad describes Atma. Kathopanishad describes as asparsham, arutam, agandam, right? Agrahyam, all of this is used for describing the consciousness. It is without attributes. So, first one is, it's subject to change, matter. Second one is, matter has its own attributes. And the third one is, matter is subjected to division, right? So, as it evolves, it originally starts with, you know, a small one cell, two cells, three cells, and keep on dividing further and further. Similarly, we also saw that in Taittiriya Upanishad, in creation, we talk about how Akasha evolved, and then from Akasha, Vayu, from Vayu, Agni, from Agni, Jalam, etc. And we also saw about this in Tattva Bodha, right? Creation, right? So, Similarly, on the science side, you have protons, neutrons, will keep on dividing and evolving, right? So, D is subject to division. So, C, A, D. These are the three fundamental differences between Atma, Brahman and Maya, or Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti, or consciousness and matter principle. There is also a fourth technical difference, which we are not going to use in these chapters, but it is very useful from a Upanishadic perspective, right? We say consciousness is Satyam and matter is Mithya. Mithya is a slightly difficult concept to grasp initially, but once we get exposed to Upanishads, it becomes easier to understand what Mithya is. Basically, Mithya is conditional reality or empirical reality, or you can call it relative reality, right? For instance, just to give you an example, when you are in dream, right, and you are experiencing a dream, the dreamer, that is you, the dreamer, sees the dream world very real, right? So there, the dream world is Mithya, right, for the dreamer. Once he wakes up, then this world becomes Satyam, right? So Mithya is empirical reality or relative reality. But here we are talking of a higher awakening. So when the higher awakening happens, even this Jagat will become Mithya. So the concept is a little difficult to grasp in the initial stages, but once we start getting exposed to Upanishad, you will learn more about this concept. Okay? So consciousness is Satyam, matter is Mithya. Right? So this is the fourth difference which we are going to keep aside. Right? So the consciousness matter mixture, which is called God, Ishvara, evolved into this cosmos. So when the matter evolved, all these things we experience are nothing but products of matter only, right? So our body itself is made up of what? Various elements like sodium, potassium, iron, etc. Of course, other than water and all that, right? So mind is also matter only as per Tattva Bodha, you may remember, right? Except that it is more sukshma or subtle as compared to the physical body that we have, right? So the details of evolution we studied in Tattva Bodha, right? And I think last week I also told you, if you can look into it, it will be useful, right? So the five elements came from where? It came in an order, right? From Brahman and Maya. Akasha, then from Akasha it was Vayu, from Vayu Agni, then from Agni Jalam, and from Jalam Prithvi, right? So and then through various combinations of these, we saw, in fact, we talked about Panchikaranam, if you remember. We said it's like an alloy. We said solid earth is a combination of one half of sukshma earth plus one fourth each of the other four sukshma components. I put down a diagram and then explained as if it's like an alloy, etc. That is, the process is called Panchikaranam. Okay? You can go and revise the portions in Introduction to Vedanta on creation. Right? So, from these, the 14 lokas are also generated. In modern language, all galaxies are born out of the combination of Pancha Prapancha Bhautikam. Pancha Pancha Bhautikam. Right? Bhautikam means elemental. Bhutam means elements. That's all. Right? So, Pancha Bhautikam means born out of the elements. Right? And the lokas were also born out of this. And subsequently, our body is also Pancha Bhautikam. Right? We have all of these. I think I mentioned recently also that we have Jala Tattvam, we have Agni Tattvam, we have Vayu Tattvam, we occupy space. So, everything, all the Pancha Bhautikams are there in the human body or animal body or plant body also, right? Any living body, right? So, that's every one of the bodies that we see, right? Any living being is evolved version of Prakriti, right? All have evolved from where? Apara Prakriti. Apara Prakriti is matter principle, right? And even in other lokas, we have so many, we hear of so many other jivas in different lokas. Everything is born out of the matter principle or prakriti as we call, right? Apara prakriti. Now the question is, what does consciousness evolve into? Right? We said consciousness and matter both are Ishvara, right? And from prakriti aspect, all of this comes. So, what does consciousness evolve into will be the natural curiosity, right? So, we will see that. So, we have to continue with a little more concept, right? So, mind also, I said, evolved from matter only, right? So, just as energy is a finest form of matter, even mind is the sukshma, right? Intangible form of matter, right? So, para prakriti is the consciousness principle. It cannot evolve into anything. Why? Because it is changeless, attributeless, divisionless, right? So, if a thing does not undergo any change, right? And remaining the same, you cannot talk about the evolution because consciousness cannot change into anything else, right? So, because it is not subject to CAD, right? So, consciousness cannot be born, cannot grow, right? It has to remain the same. So, what happens is in Vedantic cosmology, right, as they call, during evolution, Vedanta says very clearly that consciousness remains changelessly all-pervading, always, right? So, when all the bodies and minds are created, the all-pervading, formless consciousness is available within the body-mind complex also without undergoing any change. So, the consciousness remains all-pervading. So, if it is all-pervading, will it be inside the body or outside the body? Right? It has to be both inside and outside because it is all-pervading, right? So, all-pervading consciousness is available as Antara Chaitanyam and Bahya Chaitanyam, internal as well as external, right? Two fold forms, right? Two versions of the consciousness. What are the two versions? Inside and outside. Inside the body and outside the body, right? But it is not subject to change, division, etc., right? So, how to understand? But inside the body mind it is there, but it will not be subject to change, subject to any attributes or division. So, the Shastra comes up with a very beautiful example. Let us imagine there is a potter, okay? A person who makes a pot, he is seated on the open ground. Imagine an open ground without anything. Fully there is space, empty space, right? And he is just sitting in front of the potter's wheel. So, the ground on which he is seated, there is clay soil which can be used for making a pot. But now, the pots have not been created. What is there? There is only clay he is sitting. Now, the moment he creates one pot, what happens to the space that was there here? It gets divided into two, seemingly divided. Is it really divided? No. It is seemingly divided into the outer space and the inner space. Did the potter have to do anything to put the space inside? No. The potter just made the pot out of the clay and space got enclosed within the pot, right? So, one space was there all over. The moment the potter made a pot, the all-pervading space is now available within the pot also. Because of the creation of the pot and availability of the space within the pot, in fact, we have made the pot useful. Because we can utilize the space that is enclosed within the pot. Right? Pot is useful only because of what? The inner space after the creation of the pot. Very important, subtle messages here, right? So, the pot, the space is now available inside and outside, but the one inside is now useful inside the pot, right? So we are now using inner and outer space, right? So what changed with the space undergo? Nothing, right? The space did not undergo any change. It did not get divided, right? It's not that, you know, I split and put, I first make the pot and then put the space inside. No, right? So, similarly when you build houses, actually you are enclosing spaces inside each room and then only it is becoming useful. But are you putting space inside? No, right? So, this is the concept. So, Vedanta says, space is seemingly divided, not divided really. Space is seemingly divided. The adverb seemingly is very, very important, right? Because it is actually indivisible. After the creation of pot, one space is seemingly divided into two in the form of inner and outer space. And once the inner pot space is created, right, then it is useful or available for transaction. Before, the original all-pervading space was not available for transaction. Now the inner thought space is useful for transaction. What transaction? If you want to bring some water, you can bring some water in that pot. Now do you remember the fifth feature of consciousness, and we say, right, it is not because it is not available that it does not have a medium for transacting. Right? We talk about it, the fifth feature, right? So, the pot space becomes useful for accommodating water. Without that, we could not have found any use. There was no use for that space, right? Because it is enclosed in the pot space can be utilized, right? So, the enclosed space is available for utility and transaction, right? So, Vedanta now says, okay, you understood pot, you understood all pervading space, you understood the concept of useful pot space, all of that. Now extend the same principle to consciousness. The body should be compared to what? Pot. The body should be compared to pot of earth. So where did the pot come from? From earth. Body also will come from earth and go back to earth, right? So body is made up of apara prakriti. Apara prakriti enclosures are created, and when these are created, what happens to the para prakriti? The para prakriti, the consciousness, seemingly gets divided into two. The outer para prakriti and the one which is enclosed in the body mind, right? Just as the space without undergoing change seemingly gets divided into two, consciousness also, without undergoing any change, gets divided into two. Antara Chaitanyam, Bahya Chaitanyam. Inner consciousness, which is also referred to as enclosed consciousness, and the ordinary consciousness, which is the all-pervading consciousness. Right? So, Jivatma is the name of the changeless, seemingly divided, enclosed consciousness. So, are you able to understand what is Jivatma? So, Jivatma is this name of the changeless, seemingly divided, enclosed consciousness available where? In every body. Sarva Bhutastam Atmanam. In the fifth chapter, we actually saw this also, and this is a very important concept, right? So, in all types of bodies, the pure Jivatma is there. So, para or apara prakriti, Jivatma is para or apara prakriti now. It is para prakriti which is enclosed within the body mind space, right? So, the para prakriti alone is called Jivatma. What about the mind? It is apara prakriti. Anatma is apara prakriti. Everything other than consciousness is apara prakriti, right? So, that's the enclosure is anatma, apara prakriti. So, enclosed consciousness is jivatma, para prakriti. Right? So once again, the enclosure body-mind complex is anatma, it is apara prakriti. The enclosed consciousness is jivatma, para prakriti. The apara prakriti or anatma is subjected to constant change, attributes, divisions, etc. The para prakriti remains changeless, attributeless, divisionless, right? That is the consciousness. The enclosed consciousness within the body-mind complex is referred to as jivatma. Okay? So even a mosquito will have a jivatma. The portion that is enclosed within the mosquito sharira. Okay? So that changeless witness consciousness, which is the enclosed consciousness, is para prakriti being enclosed within the body. Now, having talked about this, Lord Krishna wants to say, right, whatever you experience, Arjuna, in this creation, whether it is changing principle or changeless principle, all of them are nothing but two things. What are they? Para prakriti and apara prakriti. So, the changeless consciousness principle in everyone is para prakriti, and the changing matter principle is apara prakriti, and the mixture at the macro level is called Ishvara. Right? So therefore, sarvam Ishwaramayam jagat. So, if somebody asks, where is Bhagavan? Once you are exposed to this teaching, what should we be able to say? Where is God? Not there. He is locationless. He is all pervading, right? Like the Prahlada story where Prahlada says he's there even in this pillar, right? So, sarvam Ishwaramayam jagat. Everything is God, right? Now, there's one more small topic that needs to be introduced before we enter the fourth shloka. It is that profound, okay? So, we only now have to discuss what is very clear. The evolution of apara prakriti. There is no evolution of para prakriti. Okay? So, a little bit, this looks more like a science class, but I have to complete this. So, in the cosmology of the various systems of philosophy, the various stages of evolution are talked about. Now, we saw a particular type of evolution in Satya Bodha, which is based on Advaita Vedanta. Okay? So, here, Krishna is actually heavily relying on Sankhya. Sankhya Yoga is different from Sankhya Philosophy. Sankhya Philosophy, which was put forth by Kapila Muni, right? So, Sankhya has a whole theory around the cosmology. Now, there is one particular word that Krishna uses here in the fourth verse, the second line, called Prakriti Rashtada. So, in order to explain that, I have to explain this diagram, right? This just take a couple of more minutes, right? So, each philosophy has its own theory of creation. Here we are referring to Sankhya. So, this is by Kapila Muni, as I said, right? And please don't get confused with Sankhya Yoga of the second chapter, right? So, in the fourth shloka, they're talking about, Krishna is speaking about Sankhya evolution, and the first stage of evolution is Prakriti, right? And then it gets multifold, it becomes eightfold. So we'll see what that eight is. Prakriti Ashtada, Prakriti Hi Ashtada is Prakriti Ashtada, which is eightfold. So we need to understand what is that eightfold, right? So, the eightfold division Krishna is referring to is an intermediate stage of evolution. So, if I have to explain intermediary stage, then I would have to tell you what comes afterwards, what comes before. So, the diagram here shows that from Prakriti, Mahat is born, and from Mahat, Ahankara. This is not the normal ego Ahankara. This is the prapancha level ego, right? It's ahankara, right? So, mahat and the macro ahankara, right? So, prakriti, mahat, Ahankara, and then the Ahankara has three divisions, right? The first one is Manastattvam. The second, which is seen here, is Dasha Indriyani, right? So, tenfold sense organs. Pancha Sukshma Bhutani, right? Five of Sukshma Bhutani. And then, from the Sukshma Bhutani, the Pancha Sthula Bhutani comes, okay? So, in Tattva Bodha, it is slightly different. So, now don't get confused with that. So, this is what here Krishna is referring to, right? So, from Sukshma Bhutani, Pancha Sthula Bhutani came. So, here, what are the intermediary stages? Prakriti 1, Mahata 2nd, Ahankara 3rd, and 5 of the Pancha Sukshma Bhutani. See, got 8. So, that is Prakriti Rashtada, right? So, Prakriti hi Ashtada, right? So, Ahankara, Prakriti, Mahat, Ahankara, Pancha Sukshma Bhutani, right? So, these are all, why are they called the intermediate states? A little more, we have to explain. Because this is the original source from where all the creation follows, and from Mahat Ahankara is born, from Ahankara Pancha Sukshma Bhutani is born. So, all these are referred as intermediate stages. Once this is complete, they say the initial stage of creation is complete. Therefore, these eight are referred to as the intermediary stages, which Lord Krishna is referring in this fourth shloka. That is why it required all these explanations. Okay? So, Mula Prakriti is this one, and then you just need to know 1 plus 7, 8 are talked about here. Right? So, the Pancha Sukshma Bhutani is the same as the Tattva Bodha concept, which is Sukshma Bhumi, Apaha, Analaha, Vayuhu and Kham. Right? So, in this shloka that is coming. So, the Pancha Sukshma Bhutani is Bhumi, Apa, Anala, Vayu, Kham. Right? So, let's get into the verse again. Now, see, finally we'll come to explain the verse now. So, you have Bhumi, Apaha, Analaha, Vayuhu, Kham. Right? So, Manaha in this context here refers to Mula Prakriti that we saw on the top, and that is our Abhyaktam. And very carefully we have to note here, Manaha means Mula Prakriti, and Buddhi here refers to not the normal Buddhi but Mahat. Okay, the Mahat Tattvam is referred to as Buddhi here. So, basically in this, Prakriti is referred to as Manas and Mahat is referred to as Buddhi. So, two of them, right? So, and then we have the five different subtle elements. Bhumihi, Apaha, Analaha, Vayuhu, Kam, and then of course Ahankara. Right? So if you add all of them, you get your 8. And what are those 8? Prakriti Rashtada. That is the 8. So the description of this eightfold apara prakriti is given based on the Sankhya system of philosophy. That much you should just remember. It's not your Tattva Bodha. Right? So the eightfold apara prakriti is Pancha Sukshma Bhutani, Buddhihi, Ahankara and Avyaktam or apara prakriti itself. Right? So Sankhya calls this Avyaktam. Right? So all these eight terms are technical terms of Sankhya philosophy. You need not try to even translate them to English. Just that here Krishna is referring, so it is important for us to know this. That's all. Okay? So, Pancha Sukshma Bhutani and the other three. Right? So, Ahankara here is the macro cosmic ego as we refer to, not the individual ego. Right? So, Krishna is saying, Me Prakriti hi. This is my apara prakriti. Krishna is saying, Ahankara itiyam me bhinna prakriti ashtada. Right? Earth, water, fire, air, space, the cosmic ego, the cosmic intellect, and the unmanifest abhyaktam. This is my nature, which is divided eightfold. That is the meaning of this shloka. Right? And Krishna has not talked about para prakriti. This is only apara prakriti. Okay, so we had to have such a long introduction from last week to now to understand this one word, and here Krishna is referring only to Apara Prakriti in this particular verse. Okay? Continuing. Aparayanitasvanyam, aparayanitasvanyam, prakritim viddhi vetaram, prakritim viddhi vetaram, jiva bhutam mahabaho, jiva bhutam mahabaho, yaedam dharyate jagat, yaedam dharyate jagat. So, aparayam, aparayam, should be joined with the previous shloka actually. Yam ashtada prakritihi. Basically, these are the eight soul prakritihi. It is called the inferior portion of the Bhagavan. Why does Bhagavan call this inferior? Because matter by itself does not have any utility for anyone. Right? Matter cannot know itself. Matter cannot know others. Right? It is inert. Therefore, since matter cannot prove its own existence and matter cannot prove others' existence also, it is considered to be inferior as compared to the superior aspect of the Lord, which is that consciousness is the superior aspect, because consciousness can know its own existence because it is self-aware or self-conscious. Not only that, it can reveal the existence of matter also. So consciousness is self-revealing and can reveal the existence of matter also. When you are conscious, you are aware of yourself and you can know about others also. That's what it means. Right? So without consciousness, the matter can never reveal itself or others. Right? Very deep point here. So therefore consciousness is considered superior, and therefore Lord Krishna calls consciousness para prakriti, right? Now, para prakriti and apara prakriti, we saw about the three differences also, right? Not subject to change, attributes and division, right? So, consciousness is considered superior. It is satyam. That is why it is also satyam, right? So, this eightfold prakriti, thereafter what does it do? It multiplies into the 14 lokas. All our bodies, all our minds, right? Everything is matter only. Therefore, all our bodies and minds are made up of matter. And what does consciousness evolve into? Nothing. Right? With the arrival of the body-mind complex, the consciousness is available inside. Right? Because it is any case all-pervading. After the creation of the body, the consciousness is available within the body, as well as outside the body. So exactly like the thought space, right? So the thought does not divide, but automatically the thought space gets created. Similarly, the consciousness gets enclosed within the different bodies, right? And I can never see consciousness, right? It is all pervading, but it is not perceptually available. I can only see it within the body in the various forms of what? Perception. Right? Without Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, I will not be able to perceive it. Right? So, that is why consciousness, when it comes by itself, is Ashabdam, Asparsham, Arasam, Agandham, etc. Right? Only when it is there in the body, all of this can be sensed. So, the all-pervading space is not useful for anything. Similarly, all-pervading consciousness also cannot do any kind of transaction. Only body-enclosed consciousness is useful, and it is called Jivatma, right? So, when you say, I am the inert body, right? I cannot even say that because I am not self-conscious. When I say I am the body itself, consciousness aspect comes in, right? So, it is nothing but what they call the Sakshi Chaitanyam, the witness consciousness. It is the witness of everything, right? So, if you remember the five capsules of Vedanta, it talks about that, right? I am a spiritual being experiencing the world, right? But I am the non-changing, ever the Satyam consciousness, right? So, Jivatma is nothing but consciousness principle available within the body, and the all-pervading consciousness is referred to as Paramatma, right? So, Tatu Tvam Asi, the Mahavakyam equates the enclosed consciousness with the all-pervading consciousness. So, if one claims the enclosed consciousness as I, as the witness to the Stula Sukshma Karana Shariram and the witness of Avastatrayam, then this enclosed consciousness, Jivatma, can be equated to Paramatma, which is nothing but Aikyam, Tat, Tvam, Asi. Right? So, both of them are essentially the same. So, Lord Krishna says, May Param Prakritim Viddhi. Arjuna, may you understand my Para Prakriti, which is the all-pervading consciousness. Jiva Bhutam, it is nothing but the Jivatma obtaining within every body, right? So, how to see that consciousness? Upanishad says, you don't see the consciousness because you are self-conscious. Because you are already aware of consciousness. I am the, that Para Prakriti. This he will clearly say in 13th chapter, Shetragnyam Chapimam Viddhi, Sarvakshetreshu Bharata, Shetra Shetragnya Yor Jnanam, Yatta Jnanam, Matamama. So, basically, he is talking about, he is using the term Shetragnya and Shetram here, right? And here, Krishna names it Jivatma, and he Mahabaho, to Arjuna, Yayedam Jagaddaryatu, right? This Para Prakriti Tattvam alone is accommodating the entire creation. Yaya means by this Para Prakriti, which is Jivatma within the body and which is Paramatma outside the body, this Chaitanya Tattvam alone supports the entire creation, right? That is the correct way of saying it, right? And whenever I speak of this, I remember Swami Dayananda Saraswati, in his last days also, I remember him chanting this Vishwadharam Gagana Sadrisham. And when he says Vishwadharam, you can actually feel that he is associating himself with the all-pervading consciousness. In his deathbed, I remember when somebody was chanting, he was also chanting along with the other person, Vishwadharam Gagana Sadrisham. Right? Like the Akasha and the Vishwadharam. This Vishnu is the Vishwadharam. Right? A very, very profound verse in Vishnu Sahasrama. So, this eightfold nature is my lower nature. What lower nature means? Apara Prakriti. And this is distinct from this lower nature, which is in the form of Jiva, and to be my higher nature by which this universe is sustained. I think I made a mistake here. So, basically know my lower nature and to be different from my higher nature. Okay? Continuing.
Etad yoni ni bhutani sarvani tyupadharaya aham krishnasya jagatah prabhava pralayastatha.
So, therefore, what is the universe here? It is nothing but an evolved product, evolved out of one cause called Ishvara, which consists of two portions, consciousness and matter. Etat refers to the pair, para and apara prakriti, right? So, in fact, Kalidasa gives an example, a very famous one. Vagartha viva samprittau, vagartha pratipaddaye. Right? The word and meaning, which can never be separated, right? Words and meaning can't be separated. They go together, right? And we understand because they go together, right? And they get converted into knowledge, into meaning. So, if you hear the word thought, immediately in your mind, the pot gets converted into what? A pot of a pot, right? So I say space, and then we understand space, right? So the whole communication, we are transferring the word with what confidence that all words will produce the corresponding thoughts, right? And the word and meaning are non-separable, right? So like that, consciousness and matter don't physically exist away, right? So that pair is here referred to as etat, and yoni means nimitta upadana karanam. So this Ishvara is the nimitta upadana karanam for what? Sarvani bhutani, all things and beings, right? Wherever you see inert things, immediately we must remember apara prakriti. Whenever you experience consciousness, mosquito bites you, whatever, our body is pervaded by consciousness, right? This is the para prakriti. So para prakriti and apara prakriti is all that you experience all the time, right? So as our thoughts change, apara prakriti also constantly changes, right? Thoughts change, but I am aware, right? That awareness, the changeless awareness principle is consciousness, which comes under para prakriti. So therefore Lord Krishna wants to ask people, right? And he's asking them, why are you traveling in search of me, right? If you understand the seventh chapter, then they will ask the question, oh Lord, how can I ever miss you? People are struggling to see you, right? See the Lord. But a wise bhakta does not struggle to see God because he is incapable of missing the Lord. This is the vision Lord Krishna wants to give. Sarvatra Krishna Darshanam. This is the teaching to be given. But until we are able to have this vision, we have to do pratishtha of the God locally in various temples. How long? Until we don't miss. Right? So, that's why you use Haridra Bimbam, we make the turmeric thing. All of that is because we are missing the inner God and we are actually going after outside God, pratishtha, etc. Right? So, until we reach that stage, we do need photos installed, we do need pujas, all of them. Mahaganapatim Dhyayami, Avahayami, we sort of bring Ganapati to that Haridra, right? So, we have to invite God to our house, make that God finite, miserable, finite God, as Swamiji says, right? Instead of the all-pervading God, until our mind gets matured and refined, right? In fact, consciousness is para prakriti. The word I does not exist. In ultimate Sharanagati, the surrender himself does not exist, right? That's why in the tradition they say that the word alayam also represents that, right? The Sharanagati, right? So once you surrender unto God, then and you realize this, there is no question of I also, right? So Prabhavaha means here Shishti Karanam, right? Aham means I, the Lord Krishna Paramatma, and Shishti Karanam. Then Pralayaha means Laya Karanam. Prabhavaha is Shishti Karanam, Pralayaha is Laya Karanam, right? And at the time of Pralayam, the whole cosmos will again get dissolved into me only. Exactly like the rains come, rivers are born out of these, then the rains join the rivers join the ocean, then again from the ocean, the water gets evaporated, goes up and comes, right? So, aham, pralaya, laya karanam also, right? And of course, we have to add sthiti karanam also for the maintenance, right? So, basically, I exist in the form of para-prakriti. Para-prakriti rupena, right? I am in the form of apara and para. Apara being the changing matter and para-prakriti being the changeless consciousness. So, ascertain that all things and beings have these two prakritis as their material cause. Therefore, I am the source as well as the ground for dissolution of this entire universe. Continuing. Matta parataram nanyat. Matta parataram nanyat.
किंचिदस्ति धनंजय किंचिदस्ति धनंजय मयि सर्वमिदं प्रोतम मयि सर्वमिदं प्रोतम सूत्रे मणिगणाइव सूत्रे मणिगणाइव.
Like Krishna said, I, the Lord and the Karanam, and here he wants to make a small side note, right? Karanam means what? Cause, right? So our experiences, we all experience a variety of causes in the creation, right? For instance, body is a product and body has a cause. Our parents are the cause or Karanam of the body. Therefore, Pitarau, the parents are the Karanam, right? So, from the standpoint of our body, the parents are Karanam, but they are not the ultimate cause, right? Because they themselves have some other Karanam, right? So, they are not the ultimate cause. So, therefore, all causes that we know, they are relative causes. In Sanskrit, this is called Apekshika Karanam. Okay, Apekshika Karanam means relative causes. But every karyam, right, a product itself will have its own cause, right? So, if you say God is a universal parent, right, so naturally our children will ask the question, right, if God is the parent of all of us, what will they ask? Bhagavan came from where? If you say ultimately God is our parent, their question will be, where did Bhagavan come from? Who are Bhagavan? Appa and Amma or father and mother. So what is your answer? Now it's so difficult to respond to a child here, right? But we must know that Bhagavan is not Apekshika Karanam or relative cause, right? Bhagavan is Atyantika Karanam or Moola Karanam. Bhagavan is not a product. That's why in the beginning itself we saw that Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti both are anadi or beginningless, right? So, therefore Ishvara is beginningless. Ishvara is the parent of all and he does not have parents, right? In the ninth chapter he will say that I am your father, I am your grandfather, I am everything, right? He will tell that, right? He says, Mattaha Parataram Nanyat Kinchidasti, right? Parataram means what? Another Karanam. Sankaracharya writes there, saying that there is no another cause for me does not exist, right? I am the causeless cause of everything. Hey Arjuna, Mani Sarvamidam Protam Sutre Manidanaiva, right? Now, the example is, suppose there is a necklace with lots of beads, different beads. How are the beads hung in the necklace? There is a thread that goes through them and all the beads are hung, right? So, Sutra Manigana Iva. So, Krishna is giving this example. If you take the beads are many in number and they are all divided. Each one is different from the other. The beads are visible, right? But the beads can undergo change also, fade away, etc. Right? It has got varieties of other attributes also. So, as one necklace, there is something that keeps it together. It is that strand, right? The thread, right? The thread is different from the beads, right? But the thread you don't see normally, right? If it's a good necklace, you don't see the thread, right? It's an invisible thread which keeps the various visible beads together. So, if this example is understood, all the bodies are like what? Body should be compared to the bead, right? So, and the thread is what? Thread is the sutram is consciousness or the Atma alone keeps all of them alive and together, right? So, if we are all in this room, because we are all conscious beings, Paraprakriti is there blessing us, right? So, Paraprakriti is to be compared to the invisible thread. Aparaprakriti is like what? All the visible beads. Thus, I alone sustain in the form of Paraprakriti. Right? The entire multifarious creation, which are products of my own Aparaprakriti, right? Therefore, mai sarvam idam protam, right? I am holding them together as the invisible consciousness principle, like sutre manijana iva, like the beads in the necklace, right? So, very, very important aspect, right? The flowers can fade away, the beads can fade away, but the sustaining thread is the same. The thread of consciousness will always remain. O Arjuna, there is no other cause at all apart from me, and this is strung in me like the beads in a string. Right? So we'll stop here. Purnamadat Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Okay, we can take questions. Any of you wants to ask anything, please raise your hands. Any questions? I know there was a lot today. Lots and lots of concepts which you have to definitely revise, and also you might want to go back and see, now that we spoke about the Sankhya way of creation, you can actually go and see the Tathagata way of creation to see how different it is. So extensive work has been done by our various darshanams. Sankhya, Yoga, Vaisheshika, Nyaya, philosophers on the creation itself, right? So, anybody has any questions here? Yeah, I don't see any hands up, Simbal. I think everybody is so quiet with all what's happened today. Okay, so we'll have our class next week. So, we will catch up next Sunday, same time. Hari Om, thank you.